Well, good morning to you all. It's a blessing to be here today. And we've returned. We were here in 2023 in July, and I had had a surgery, and I wasn't at my best. And Seth and others helped me out to get through the service, but I appreciate your faithfulness to help us. Debbie and I are military missionaries with Baptist International Missions, and most of you know that here. But if some of you don't and would like to have a prayer card, I keep a few in my pocket. We've been missionaries with them for about 20 years, and we're glad to serve the Lord. We lived in Germany for 4 years at a church right outside the army base there in Grafenwehr, Germany. And then we were sent then to Japan. We lived in Sasebo, Japan. We were there for 6.5 years at Lighthouse Baptist Church, so we were glad to be there and serve. I just thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy to us. And it's an honor to be here in this pulpit today. When I think of Brother Weigel, I had him in Bible college back in 1972, so as a teacher, so that's a ways back. He's a great Bible teacher and a great preacher. I certainly don't compare to him or match up to him, but I'm glad to share the gospel. One time there was a Spurgeon said about Joseph Parker there in the England days back in the 1800s. He says, well, Joseph Parker may be a better preacher than me, but he doesn't have a better gospel to preach than I have. So that's the truth. Debbie and I are going to just sing a song briefly. I think you'll like it. It's a chorus. And then I'm going to have a few handouts to give out to go along with the message and sort. We have a song to sing. And I would ask Nancy maybe to stay here and play, but we might have had the same tempo. Debbie, would you come and help me then? As we sing this song, it's not what's on the verse there.
You want me to get you on the key?
Well, that might be okay. I don't care if you play with us. We're a silent night. We're doing silent night. We may not have quite the right tempo, but that'd be good. All right, before we start singing this, I'll just say this about it. This is John 3:16. Debbie, stand up over here. I'm going to need you here more than I need me here. I tried to print, use these letters, and I ran out of board and everything, so I made a little extension here, all right? But Debbie, I'm going to let her lead it, and you'll follow it. It's John 3:16 to the tune of Silent Night. And Debbie, I'll let you start it, please.
To make everything fit, you have to say John 3:16 twice.
Yeah, that's why it's up
so
there.
So remind yourself of the tune. Silent night, holy night. You got that tune? Okay,
yeah.
So make it all fit. John 3:16 two times.
John 3:16, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that was good. I think they did pretty good. Let's do it one more time for them, okay? Ready? John 3:16, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Well, that's good. Debbie said, I took a long time to make this. She said, well, everybody knows John 3:16. Well, that's good. But maybe some little kids, she'll take this to a Bible club and they won't know it so well. Amen. Could I have a couple helpers? Young kids or anybody just to help me pass out something, please. Okay, you got a volunteer or two? Two would be good. Yeah, here, good. That's good. Hey, boy, they get right up here. You take this side and give everybody one. And you take this side. I may not have enough. May have to get some of your brother. while they're passing that out, sometimes I say something sort of lighthearted and funny, but Seth, he took care of all that this morning during the opening service, so I won't try and say anything funny, but I would like to share something that might be helpful. I'd like to give a little brief history of what I know about Open Door Baptist Church. And it's not a lot, but Debbie grew up on the west side there off of Wilcox Street, about 3600 block. Thank you, kids. I appreciate it so much. Just lay them there on the somewhere, give them to Debbie. And Debbie's mom wasn't a Christian, but at the time, Debbie had a burden for her mom, and Debbie went to El Bethel Baptist Church, way out on West 10th Street. But at that time, it might have been on Main Street in Speedway, because El Bethel got its start from an older American Baptist church, and then they moved out there to West 10th Street back in about 1973. But let's go back to Open Door, please. Debbie took her mom to Open Door Baptist Church, and it was over off of 16th Street. Do you remember the name of the street, Debbie? One of those, what's that?
One of the side streets
there. You know where Tibbs is. It would have been about three or four streets over from Tibbs off of 16th Street. Debbie took her mom there way back in the 60s sometimes. 69, Debbie knows the year. And Don Quast was the pastor. So that was 1969. That's where Open Door Baptist Church was at the time. Now, I was never there. I remember the building. I've driven by before and seen the building, but I was never there. And then, of course, you folks moved to the really fine building there on Cold Springs Road. Does anybody know what year you guys moved there to Cold Springs Road? Anybody remember that? What year that might have been? It's not essential. I just thought somebody might remember. Well, I've been to that building before. That was a beautiful building on Cold Springs Road. And Brother Weigel, of course, was a pastor there all the time, I remember. I think Brother Quast might have gone there at first when they built the building and things. And one time, just a little funny thing, some of you remember David and Barbara Batchelder that you used to support, and maybe still support them as missionaries to Child Evangelism Fellowship. Well, I went there one time. We were home from Terre Haute. We used to live in Terre Haute with Child Evangelism. And we went there to the church just to see them and to hear Pastor Weigel preach. And I didn't know about this before time. I went to Pastor Weigel and said, well, they've got a surprise for you outside. Did you know that? And he didn't know anything about it. Well, the church at that time, and some of you maybe here long enough to know that, they had bought him a nice station wagon. That's when they still lived on the west side. And so I sort of let the cat out of the bag. And then after the service, they said, Pastor Weigel, we want to present you with this station wagon. And it was sitting out outside the church where you couldn't see it. So that's one little incident I remember. And then I know there was a time when you went to Pastor and Cheryl Weigel's house and you had church there. Some of you probably remember that. So I was there even once, I believe, once or twice. And then we've been to this nice building about three or four times now. So that's just a little history of what I know about Open Door Baptist Church. So if you got any questions, probably better ask my wife afterwards, because I probably don't know all the answers. But it's good to be here. If you'll take your Bibles, we'll be in the same passage we were this morning with Debbie in the Bible lesson. I didn't really exactly plan it that way, but I had picked this because I'm going to talk about the birth of the Savior today, preach about that. And I said, well, why don't you just do a good Christmas lesson in your teaching, which she did. And she came to Luke 2 also. So we're Luke 2 and 1 through 14. I'll read that together here, and I'm sure it's up on the board there, overhead there, if you don't have your Bibles with you. Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same time, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, we thank you for this day. We can be in your house and have this service, and thank you for your word, that we could read your word and we could speak from your word about the truths of God's word. Lord, bless the group that's here today. If anybody has a special need, that you might be pleased to meet it. Maybe there's some sickness here and somebody needs to have their body touched by your grace and goodness, and they might be healed. Maybe there's someone that's lost a loved one in recent months, that you would just comfort them and be with them. Be with those who are away and traveling. Pastor and Mrs. Weigel and their dear brother from Ethiopia, friend, that you'd be with him and bring him back safely. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be together and to sing praises. What good songs, what good praising this morning. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd take your papers with you that I gave you, I'm not going to read all this, but if you'll take the lower half, I'd just like to go over that. This is from a friend of mine, a preacher friend, Dr. Larry Lilly. And some of you may know him. He used to be in this area out of Avon, and now he's in Terre Haute preaching. His son, John Lilly, preaches it there in Avon himself, at the Fine Church, Harmony Baptist Church. But look at let's just look at the paragraphs below the one word there, swaddling band, about the middle. God is speaking to his creation, and he proclaims his love for with the above proclamation that we read about in scriptures already, letting the sea know of his care and security by settling its restraints. Oh, we didn't read that passage, I'm sorry. That was in Job there, I'm sorry, we didn't read that. Most believe Luke's shepherds watching their flocks by night were temple shepherds, well-trained in messianic traditions. When they heard the phrase wrapped in swaddling clothes, they knew this was a sign and they rushed to Bethlehem. The importance of swaddling clothes is mentioned in Ezekiel 16:4. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. The entirety of Ezekiel 16 treats of the poverty of Jerusalem until God came and rescued her and set her as the greatest city in antiquity. Read the chapter for a heart warmer. You may not have been wrapped in swaddling clothes, but for sure, if you know Jesus Christ, you are swaddled in his unspeakable love and care. And that's true, isn't it? We're in the wonderful love and care of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought you might just have that as a blessing to take with you at this coming Christmas season. It's hard to believe it's December 1st already, isn't it? I'm grateful for the great Thanksgiving. I'm sure all of you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and had your fellowship with friends and family and loved ones, and that's a wonderful thing. As a way of introduction, before I regularly get into the text of the body, this is just found, I found this interesting note about the Christmas season. When Pope Julius I authorized December 25th to be celebrated as the birthday of Jesus in AD 353, who would have ever thought that it would become what it is today? And then secondly, when Professor Charles Follen lit candles on the first Christmas tree in America in 1832, who would have ever thought that the decorations would become as elaborate as they are today? And then third, it is a long time since 1832 and 353 AD, of course, longer still from the dark night, brightened by a special star in which Jesus the King was born. Yet, as we approach December 25th again, it gives us yet another opportunity to pause, and in the midst of all the excitement and elaborate decorations and expensive commercialization which surrounds Christmas today, to consider again the event of Christmas and the person whose birth we celebrate. One of my favorite Christmas verses is Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a wonderful verse. I wanted to speak to you this morning about the birth of the Savior. And you know, that's not a strange thing to any of you, but I'm glad our Savior was born, aren't you? I'm glad that he was born to die for our sins, and he lived a perfect life on this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins. I'm gonna share several verses with you today, and if you'd have your Bible open, I know Seth doesn't have a list of all my verses, so that's probably not going to be possible for him to turn to them because I didn't give to him. But if you would just turn to you, I'll give you a little time to turn to it. Let's go first of all to Isaiah 7:14. We'll look at a little Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah 7:14, and then we'll go to Isaiah 9:6-7 after that. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then if you're in Isaiah already, I'll give you a little more time just to go over to chapter 9, verses 6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When we think concerning the virgin birth and the miraculous thing what it was, we can't understand it, but we need to believe it. It's an essential point of our Christian beliefs, the virgin birth of Christ. Both Matthew and Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, make very important statements about the birth of Jesus. And I'll just go to these briefly. You're already in Luke 2, so you have your thing there. But Matthew 1:25 says, she had brought forth her firstborn son. And then Luke 2:7, if you back in there, a verse we already read, and she brought forth her firstborn son. So Jesus was not simply a son, or one of Mary's sons. He could have been considered as one of her many sons, but the Holy Spirit makes sure Jesus is noted as the firstborn son of Mary. She was conceived, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural event that only God could have done. And so we have the God-man born in the flesh. She had no sexual relationship with a man. Matthew 1:24-25 says that. And she was completely a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, which we just read, one of our verses. And then let's turn now to Luke 1:35. And the angels answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, not in this world today, but he will be recognized as the King of kings and Lord of lords in the future world. And when we all enjoy the millennium time and being with Christ for those 1,000 years, Jesus will be the Savior, and we will honor his birth and his death and resurrection. She gave birth to Jesus, which we just read, in Luke 2:6-7, and so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Wow, isn't that neat to think about? He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and as we read the thing there, the shepherds out in the field, they knew what swaddling clothes was, and they knew the prophecy that there would become a king who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then number two, my second point, he was born in the town of Bethlehem. Now, if you want to turn to Micah, one of the minor prophets there, Micah 5:2, it's sort of a longer verse, so I'll give you a chance to turn there. Micah 5:2, about the prophecy of where he was going to be born. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto him, me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. Who's going forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Wow, this is, you know, there was two Bethlehems in the land of Israel. And this was known as Bethlehem of Ephrathah. And I can't tell you exactly where the other Bethlehem was located there in Israel, but maybe that would be a good thing for you to Google this afternoon or something, huh? It's funny how we Google things today. We were watching an old Amish movie about an Amish family, and they had shoe fly pie. Now, how many know what shoe fly pie is? Anybody know? There's Ms. Kaiser does. Anybody else? Not too many. Well, I had to Google it to look. It's basically made with molasses and brown sugar and things. It sounds really good. It's really gooey and ooey. It sounds like the kind of pie I'd like, you know. But there's only two kinds of pie I like. Do you know that? There are only two kinds, hot or cold. That's the only kind of pie I like. It's hot or cold. Well, how'd they get off in there? I don't know. Bethlehem Ephrathah was one of the smallest of the cities in Judah. Jesus was born in an insignificant village and was birthed in an indiscreet place, in a manger. Jesus, the Son of God, born in a humble manger. Matthew 2:1, you won't have to turn to that. I'll just read that now. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now we think about the wise men coming. We know, scripturally speaking, the wise men didn't come at the actual birth of Jesus. How many agree with that? They didn't come then, okay. The wise men came when he was a little child, maybe 2 years later. And of course that makes all the manger scenes a little out of portion, but let's believe the Bible and believe that's true. When we think of the phrase, when his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, reminds me of the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes into all eternity, Jesus does. And if you're saved, how long are you saved for? All eternity, isn't that good? That we're not saved for just a brief period of time, we're saved for all eternity. When we think about Jesus being God and God in the flesh, I'd like to just maybe share this with you. Why don't you turn there to John 1-4. You know, I do use a lot of scripture in my preaching because the word of God we hear, and if I get up and maybe stumble along like I do anyway and just say some flowery things and stuff, it won't be much good. But if we look into the word of God and consider his birth, the birth of our Savior, we can find it could be some helpful things. So let's see about him being the eternal God in John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The birth of Christ is a one-time event in the span of time. We think about Jesus, God's very Son. He created everything. God the Father, God the Son, God and the Holy Spirit were all in the beginning. And yet God, through his miraculous plan, was able to send Jesus to earth through the virgin birth and be born and live a sinful life, a sinless life. Aren't you glad that he was born to die for you and that he took care of all our sin problems? If it wasn't for him dying on the cross and raising again, we'd have no hope of everlasting life. There it says in Philippians 2:7, when we think about it's a one-time event, Philippians 2:7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of man. You know, I used to, a couple times in Indiana Baptist College, I heard old John R. Rice preach. Now, he's been gone since 1980, but he had a lot of good books. His Prayer, Asking and Receiving is an excellent book on prayer if you've ever read it and looked into it. But he had this to say about Christmas. You can never truly enjoy Christmas until you can look into the Father's face and tell him you have received his Christmas gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You can't really enjoy this coming Christmas unless you know Christ as your Savior. And most everyone in this room today, I'm sure, knows Christ as your Savior. But at church today, we should examine our hearts to make sure we're in the faith that we've asked Christ to be our Savior. And just think about, if Jesus had never come, wouldn't that be a tragic thing? If Jesus had never come, there'd be no Christmas celebration. There'd be no New Testament. There'd be no Christ to save and comfort and gladden and guide our steps. I was appreciative of what Miss Nancy said earlier about, you know, a lot of people today don't know how to cast their care upon Jesus. I love my sister, and she's gone to the same church for 60 years. I won't mention the name of that church, but she's worshiped God in her own way and heart, but when it comes time to troubles or worries, she's worried all the time and troubled about things. Each one of us need to learn 1 Peter 5:7, don't we? To cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And if Jesus hadn't come, there'd be no gospel to preach, no hope, no salvation. We should rejoice today because he has come. Amen. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Then number three, my point number three, is that Christ would be a descendant of Abraham. Now if you'll go to Genesis, please, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I don't think anybody will have trouble finding Genesis. You might have had a little trouble finding Micah a while ago. But Genesis, let's go see about the prophecy to Abraham, really, that the Christ would come. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, that was a lesson of years ago, but it could be a valuable lesson for our world today, couldn't it? He will bless them that bless thee, Israel, and he will curse them that curseth thee. And of course, the devil has people's mind blinded spiritually for salvation purposes, and also he has men's blinded for the sake of the coming kingdom of Christ. And so we see these good verses about the covenant of Abraham. We have the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from the seed and lineage of Abraham. Then Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, it says in Romans 4:3. How about you here today? Have you believed in his son, Jesus Christ? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You know, the emphasis today was on the gospel in Sunday school. Now, I hope none of you are grading me on how I'm getting the gospel in, but maybe you are. Maybe it'd be good benefit for me afterwards, how to get the gospel. We talked, and for those of you who weren't in Sunday school, we had an acrostic of the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, how that God loves you. He does love you. He loves each one of us. And we've already sang about John 3:16, but isn't it unique to think how God loves us, even though we're sinful people, that he loves us and cares for us. And then we think other things about how about here today, have you also known that he cares for you in such a special way that he sees you as an individual? I don't think many people today really realize that there's a God in heaven that loves him individually, that he cares for your soul. And that's why we need to be getting the gospel out. There are many New Testament verses that tell us that to be saved, we must believe alone on what God's word says to us. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Have you believed the truth of the gospel to know that? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Debbie mentioned earlier in the Sunday school time how that nobody can be saved unless they realize they're a sinner. If you're dealing with a child in Sunday school class or someplace, and maybe they seem like they'd like to be saved, well, they have to realize that they're a sinner. We can't go to heaven and we can't be saved unless we believe that Jesus is our Savior. Not only that, but you must know that Jesus took your place to die for you on the cross of Calvary. I think about often when I was saved, I was saved 54 years ago in March at the Northside Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. I was a young sailor. I was lost in my sin. I knew I was a sinner. You know, that's something special about the Holy Spirit. He convicts us and convinces us of our sin. I remember as a young man living on a farm out by Greenfield, there were several times walking down the railroad track and stuff that I felt a special thing coming. It wasn't supernatural, but I felt convicted of the Holy Spirit about sin in my life. But I didn't know what to do with it. I went to a church where they didn't really preach a full gospel. Matter of fact, maybe I've told you this before, but it's worth repeating again. When I was about 12 years old, I went forward at our country church. It's still out there at 21st and Mount Comfort Road. And the pastor, when I came forward, they hardly ever had anybody come forward at the end of the service because it was written on the bulletin invitation, but there was no formal invitation like you might give at your church. So when I came forward, he asked me, he said, "Well, is there anything you want to say?" And I said, "Well, no, there's nothing I want to say." And sorry to say, he didn't know how to take me aside and show me how to be saved. So a few weeks after that, I had a catechism class with him and things, and we learned some things, and then I was sprinkled. That was a waste of water and time because I didn't really know Christ as my Savior. So here was a man of God, supposedly. He was trying to do his best. I'm not critical of him. Maybe he knew Christ as his Savior, but he didn't know how to lead me to Christ. And I often think in how important it is that time there at the Northside Baptist Church when a personal worker by the Dennis Jester was his name, he took me down to the basement room and he showed me the Romans Road. And that's why the Romans Road is always so helpful to me to memorize those verses and know them. I've already quoted a couple of them to you, but Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Salvation is a free gift. All you have to do is, like Christmas time, when you take your gifts, you just receive them, don't you? You just have to reach out and take them. And that's the way it is with salvation, because many people can't understand that concept, that salvation is just a free gift. They said, "That's too easy. You know, we can't believe that. So that's too easy." And then, of course, we think about Romans 5, 6 through 8, 9, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Man, aren't those wonderful verses? In verse 9 says, "Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Wow. I think it's great to see these things and to hear these things and know how much God loves us. You could all think of a time when you asked Christ to be your Savior. And you can think where you were, maybe at camp, maybe at church. It's important you know when you got saved. Now, you might always know the date and time. I only know the month. It was March of 1970. But if you get saved, it's a good idea to write it down, especially young children. It's good, well, he got saved on April 4th of 1979 or whatever. You know, you ought to write it down and make a note of it. Remember it. Because as sure as the world, the devil will come along and he'll try and get you to forget about it and think you really aren't saved. But, you know, I've got a verse for the devil on that. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even as them that believe upon his name." I received Jesus. So he's in my heart. I know he's my Savior. Amen. You know, we're saved by grace alone and through faith alone and through Christ alone. That's the only way we're saved. I want to share a little illustration now about even a child could be saved. This is from my Moody devotional book from D.L. Moody. He wrote this story years ago, but it's a true story. It's called The Description of the Trinity. "It is not long ago, it just seems the other day, when my dear friend Dr. Matheson, now in heaven, told me he was preaching the gospel in Scotland, and a minister told him that he had in his congregation a mentally challenged boy. He didn't know what to say to him or to do with him. He had spoken to him many times, but the boy always said," here's what the little boy said, "'You must wait till I come to you, and when I see you, I'll sing a song and tell you a story, but you must wait till I come.'
to you. The minister heard that the boy was dying, just a young boy, and his name was Sandy. And he went to see him and he said, Sandy, you promised me that you would sing me a song and tell me a story before you die. Will you tell it now? Yes, he didn't maybe sing him a song, but he told him a story. Listen to this. Here's what he said. 3 and 1 and 1 and 3 and Jesus Christ, he died for me. And that's it. 3 and 1 and 1 and 3 and Jesus Christ, he died for me. Moody says, I tell you, I'd rather be a little mentally challenged boy and know that than be one of the mightiest and so-called wisest men in the city of Chicago and not believe that Jesus took my place and died for me on Calvary's cross. The gospel is very simple. It's easy to understand. Even the little children understood Jesus. The gospel is easy to understand. It's not easy being a Christian. We have a lot of trials and troubles. Don't lead people to think if they get saved, all their troubles will be over. Might be when all your troubles just begin to some extent. But isn't it good that you have Jesus to go with you through your troubles? And in a similar verse is 1 Peter 5:7 is Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. I like that verse as well to think about he'll sustain us. Now summing up the last few points of the birth of the Savior, how the Old Testament revealed that his Savior would be born. Let's go through Isaac for a minute. Let's go to Genesis 17:19. Let's see what the scripture was there to Isaac there. Genesis 17:19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a seed indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, meaning laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for everlasting. That's a good truth, isn't it? Everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And then let's look at another place here about Jacob. Through Jacob, the seed of the Savior was through him. Genesis 28:14. If you'll turn there, you're pretty close. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then we think about in the line of Judah, of Genesis 49:10. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Shiloh was a biblical location, and Shiloh is a reference to Jesus as well. And then from the house of David, let's look at that. 2 Samuel 12:7, 12 through 13. I'll need to turn to that. Sometimes I write my verses out. I didn't write that one out. Give me a minute here. 2 Samuel 7:12-13. So we've seen a lot of prophetic verses today about the birth of the Savior. And I know you all believe in the birth of the Savior. I'm not here to convince you of that. But it's important to think this time of year. There's many people that don't believe that Jesus was virgin born and he was born to take away our sins. Because many people have nothing to confess about sin today. 2 Samuel 7:12-13. And when the days be fulfilled that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. For he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is a seed of the Lord Jesus, of course, through David and through the other prophets of the Old Testament, and Samuel here speaking this. But Jesus was certainly the seed to come. And now, if we'll turn to Galatians, we're going to end up in this passage here, Galatians 4:4. It's a wonderful passage to think about at Christmas time. If you want to share the scripture with somebody, Galatians, and some of you know it by heart, I'm sure, Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. The fullness of time, that's when Jesus came. Was it December 25th? Probably not. But that's when we celebrate it. So I'm glad we can honor the birth of the Savior on that day, at any rate. The fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. He sent forth Jesus to be born in that manger, to be virgin born, to be the sinless son of God. I'm thankful for that, and I know you are too. He was made of a woman, made under the law. It was the time of the law at that time. To redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. I'm sure you're glad to be redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Have you been redeemed today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is he the Lord of your life and the Lord of your heart? I hope he is, and most of you can confess to that today. But my message might be a little shorter, and you say, well, that's not so bad. But at any rate, I think I've come to the time where we'll come and have an invitation. And as Brother Seth comes to lead us in a time of singing, just ask God to speak to your heart. And before he starts the singing, I'll close with a word of prayer that God might speak to your heart about the need of your heart. I know you know the birth of the Savior, but it's always good to reemphasize it and think about it again. So, Lord, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for your message about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior, and we thank you how he loves us and cares for us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here in your house today. And I pray that the people were blessed, at least from the scriptures, that it might challenge and refresh their hearts, knowing that this season of the year is a special season when we need to turn our thoughts and our lives towards God and towards his son, Jesus. Of course, we need to do that every day, but even more importantly, this time of year. Lord, help us to pass out gospel tracts. Help us to be a witness to other people. We have much to be thankful for, and you blessed us abundantly and over what we need here in America. And we think of other countries that have so little. And Lord, they don't have enough food to even eat. Even south of us in Cuba, the people there lack of food and lack of supplies. But yet, your grace has been extended to America. Help us to turn back to thee with revival thoughts in our mind and heart, that each one of us be revived. It said in Psalm 139:23-44, it talks about how to search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I pray that there be no wicked way in me today, and if someone needs to come at this invitation and come to the altar and pray, that they might do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.